Good morning, Crosspoint. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 23, in the CSB translation. So if you have a Bible device, I'd encourage you to turn there. And while you're getting there, my name is Maximus Dalter, for those of you who don't know me, and I've been coming to Crosspoint for basically my whole life with my parents, David and Mindy Stalter. And just as last year, I graduated from Eureka High School, and this fall I'll be attending Moody Bible Institute as I study Bible theology there. And then over the summer, I've had the opportunity to go to the IFCA Youth Convention with Liberty Bible Church. And there, students are given the opportunity to participate in ministry training areas. And this year, I preached on Psalm 23, which we're going through this morning. And from that, I've learned lots of things and just really been really encouraged through that. And I'm just going to share a couple of those encouragements to you. I learned that since the Lord is our shepherd and is leading us through all of life, that I don't need to worry in the dark times or even the good times, because God is constantly leading me through as the good and perfect shepherd that he is. And that's just really been a great encouragement to me as I've just been seeking out what God's plan is for me in this next step of life as I go off to college. And after a lot of prayer and just resting in God's will over the last year, I've finally landed on Moody Bible. I guess back in April is when I decided to go to Moody, and I keep relying on God and just seeking his will and just taking steps of faith as I follow him to Moody. And I've also really been encouraged by the Father's love for us that we see in verse 6, as it says, "Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life." And this has really been an encouragement to me, as I know that no matter what I do or where I am, or even if I'm running away from God, that God will always be pursuing me with that love, and that I could never do anything to lose that love. And then an encouraging verse that kind of displays that love for us is Romans 5:8. "But God proves his own love for us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." And this verse has been really a great encouragement to me as I've studied Psalm 23, just showing me that God will always love us. And even in the midst of us rejecting him and rebelling against him, God still has an amazing love for us, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And that's just the beauty of the gospel that we see. All right, so if you turn to Psalm 23, let's hear God's word. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Max. We're going to be looking at Psalms through the end of August, and then we'll start 1 John in September. Psalm 23 is a passage I preached before. I want to come back to it here in this summer series. Some of you may have it committed to memory. Some of you may have it hanging on a wall or present in your home in some way. Maybe the last time you heard it was a funeral. So whether the passage is hidden in your heart, or this is brand new, or somewhere in between, I pray that the word would be what it is, living and active, and that we would be receptive and respond to it today. Last year, Heather and I got a golf cart on Marketplace. I think it's a sign of aging, but we got one. We really love it. It's fun to drive around in our neighborhood, cruise around. We're old people cruising around. It's a really cheap date. It's been fun to take our grandkids on. And last month, on one of our drives, our grandson, who will turn 3 in October, was on my lap and wanted to help me drive. And as we started getting going, I've got my hands on the wheel. He's got his hands on the wheel, and I'm steering us in this particular direction, and he's slowly trying to steer us in this direction. And we get just a couple houses down the street, and we pause for a minute, and I say, "Listen, Pops is going to lead, you're going to follow. Pops is going to lead, you're going to follow. You can keep your hands on the wheel, buddy. I want you to keep your hands on the wheel. This is how you learn. But you've got to follow, and I've got to lead. Why? For the good of those on board. For me and you, and for Lolly and baby sister Remy and for the good of the golf cart that we paid money for. All of that. Pops is going to lead and you're going to follow. I'm hoping ultimately he catches that he can trust my leadership, not just on a golf cart, but in life. And even more so, I'm praying that this beautiful firstborn, I've got some thoughts and ideas, and you should go there, and I should do this, and what about this, and directing here and there, that he would ultimately trust in the good shepherd. Because that leads to this really beautiful gospel good in his life, the good of others, and for the glory of God. Loved ones, the more I've thought about my heart and my desire for us as a church, my prayers that we'd wholeheartedly trust in Jesus more and more, and that we joyfully and humbly bow our hearts and knees to his good shepherding and leadership. Why? For the good of those on board, for you and me, and for those yet to be reached for the gospel, for the glory of our God. In a lot of ways, I think I could sum up the conversations I have as a pastor of trying to help people trust in Jesus more. To trust him with their salvation, with their sin, trusting him more as they live as a child of God or as a spouse, parent, as an employee, as a student, trusting him in death, in difficulty, with money, in the workplace, trusting him in his ways, his timing, his wisdom, his word, trusting that as he commands them to get baptized, they should follow in obedience, trusting him as he calls them to repent or turn from unbelief or walk in the light, trusting him with their hearts. The Lord our good shepherd is trustworthy, my friends, not just for your eternal life, but in daily life. As we live that salvation identity out, where are you hesitating to obey the good shepherd? Where are you resisting his good authority? Where are you actively rebelling against his commands that are not burdensome but bring life? Here are four seasons of life where I think we are prone to distrust the good shepherd. In seasons of unknown, and all of life has unknowns to it, but I'm speaking of those times where we feel like we're at a crossroads. A big decision is looming. What's the next chapter hold? Maybe you're facing a new job, a new season for your household, for your life. You're stepping into college. You're stepping out of high school. And in such seasons, we might be prone to the spirit of control that's rooted in our ability and that leads us to a prayerlessness rather than a prayerfulness that reveals that we depend upon Jesus. Where in a sense we say, Lord, I've already determined my best plans. Bless those, would you? Rather than, Lord, what should I do? I need wisdom. I need direction. I want to be led by you. So give me wisdom. Surround me with godly counsel. Teach my heart to obey. What about in seasons of hardship, struggling health, loss of a loved one, strained relationships, consequences of sin, difficult work environment? And you and I might be prone to wonder if the good shepherd is still with us or for us or ahead of us in such seasons. Our hearts might grow calloused or cold because of circumstances, and we look to human grit to get us through it, and we turn to lesser things to try to medicate or deal with the pain. In seasons of pride, these are those times when we distrust the Savior because our flesh just wants to do what it wants to do. For instance, the good shepherd has said, follow me over here or follow me in this way and turn from envy or smugness, bitterness, sexual immorality, greed, apathy, self-pity. And we're proudly thinking, nah, I'm going to do what I want to do. And we're distrusting the voice of the shepherd that is trying to lead us to life and joy. In seasons of comfort, this might be the most subtle and susceptible times that we can relate to. Life is good. I mean, it's all right. Money is steady. Relationships are at peace. Work is fine. There's food in the pantry. We're living the middle class life. We're throwing a little money at the kingdom here and there. We're showing up to church every so often. We're comfortable. And in such times, we can forget the Lord. We start to go, we did it. We built this. We earned this. We got this. I look at this life. And we settle into this comfortable rut that is unwilling to obey the Lord when His commands or His Spirit are calling us out of our little box. For instance, when the Lord says, store up treasure in heaven and not in stuff, invest into the eternal kingdom, or repent and be baptized, or see how this business is, worship unto me and not separate from me, or don't neglect my word but dwell in it richly, or turn from the fear of man, walk in courage, walk in the power of the Spirit, or pursue restoration in that relationship. Ask forgiveness, make right the wrongs, make peace that glorifies God. And we go, nah, that's going to cause me to change. I don't want to do that. I kind of hit autopilot a while back. I've been following Jesus for a while. I hit the button. I'm just cruising now. And we're slow to trust the voice of the Good Shepherd who is still seeking me to actively shepherd us in our present day, decades or years after we've trusted in Him. Where are you hesitating to obey the Good Shepherd? Where are you resisting His good authority? Where are you actively rebelling against His commands that are not burdensome but bring life? What I want us to see and hear from Psalm 23 is how good the Good Shepherd is. How trustworthy is His leadership, how right are His ways, how loving He is toward those who follow Him with the whole of their lives. Because we'll be reminded of the trustworthy character of our Lord from Psalm 23. And knowing the character of our God should result in our obedience, our trust in Him, which should result in this glad, wholeheartedly welcoming the leadership of Jesus in all of our lives. May we, individually and collectively, turn more and more to follow Him. Jesus, You lead, we will follow. In the Bible, we see about 450 verses that refer to sheep, shepherd, shepherding. And in those pictures, we see three roles. There are the sheep, the followers of Jesus, worshipers of our God. So just like you're a member of the body or a member of His family, you and I, if you're in Christ, you are a part of His flock. You're a sheep in His pasture. The next role we see is in Scripture is that of a shepherd. Moses, Jeremiah, David were shepherds of sheep as well as shepherds of God's people. At times, the Israelite leaders were referred to as shepherds, albeit often self-serving, proud ones. In the New Testament, elders and pastors are referred to as under-shepherds of God's people. And finally, the other role in this metaphor of sheep and shepherding is the other role is Jesus, being the chief shepherd of the church, the good shepherd that we follow. David, the one who wrote the psalm, he knew the dangers of life, the feelings of death, the waywardness of his own heart, and he knew the joy it is to be in relationship with the Lord and to experience His leadership in all those different seasons. So verses 1 through 3, again, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. It's relational. Is Jesus the good shepherd of the whole flock of God? Yes. Is He also the individual shepherd of our souls? Yes. Throughout the Bible, we're told of the nature and character of God. We've seen that as we've looked at various psalms this summer, here in Psalm 23, we see that our God is near. And the shepherd knows His sheep. He knows them by name. He knows their tendencies. He knows our temptations, our trials, our thoughts. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Before man can truly say, 'The Lord is my shepherd,' he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature. He must relate to a sheep in its dependency, in its foolishness, in its utter need. Sheep are not known from their brightness. They're prone to wander, prone to foolishness, prone to just follow the one in front of them through the fence, over the cliff, into the ditch. Before a man can truly say, 'The Lord is my shepherd,' he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature." So you and I recognize that we need to be led, that we should not lead ourselves. It doesn't go well. You recognize that you need wisdom from above, and you're going to reject the temptation to trust in your own wisdom or just blindly follow the person in front of you or the pattern of the generations before you, or the pattern of the world before you, because it leads you over the cliff. Or you recognize that apart from the Lord, you don't know what's best for you, what you need, or the path to walk on, or where true freedom and joy are found. So you trust in the shepherd. Before you can say the Lord is my shepherd, we must first choose humility and let go of this false idea that we should lead ourselves and expect that where we lead ourselves, it will lead to the right paths and the Lord's glory and the good of those on board. Twice in this first section, David writes, he leads me. Where does the good shepherd lead us? Verse 2, green pastures, quiet waters. Philip Keller, who is a son of missionaries in Africa, served as a shepherd as well in his lifetime. But he wrote a book on Psalm 23, naturally, son of missionaries, shepherd. I'm going to write a book on Psalm 23. But he wrote that sheep do not lie down easily and will not unless four conditions are met. Because they're timid, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they're social animals, they will not lie down if there's friction or conflict among the sheep. If flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. And then he writes, if sheep are anxious about food or hunger, they will not lie down. And then he writes, rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. The good shepherd is going to lead his sheep toward pastures that are green, peaceful waters, places of rest, renewal, restoration. And think less about physical places and more about the postures of your heart and your mind. When we are led by our flesh, it will lead us to the opposite of what David describes here. It will lead us to unrest, strife, division, destruction. And how do we know that? Because we look at Galatians 5 when the Apostle Paul lays out the works of the flesh. When we lead ourselves, and when we are led by the flesh and not the Spirit, it will lead us to, he says, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing. Are some of those present in your life? If so, one reason is because the good shepherd is not shepherding, ruling, reigning over all of your heart. Because there's likely some area of your life where you've set aside the grace of God and said, I got this one, God. I think I know better. And pride goes before a fall. In my own experience, my flesh has often sought to lead me to places that appear green, but when you scoot up close to them, they're dead. Or they're green because they're over the septic field. Or to places that appear peaceful, but, oh, this is a riptide. I'm getting washed out to sea. Or it's rushing rapids. It appeared from a distance. It appeared like, oh, that's such an oasis. It leads to death. Loved ones, trust in the good shepherd's leadership in all of your life as he leads us to places of flourishing, life, rest, peace. In verse 3, David says, he leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. The good shepherd is going to lead us on paths of righteousness, toward obedience, toward the Lord. The right paths versus the wrong, destructive, worldly, fleshly ones. Do you see how these are linked? How our flesh and our spiritual enemy says, you know what will lead to rest? Living for yourself, for your own will, for your own desires. But here we see the truth that Christ's leadership leads us to right paths, which then rightly lead us to places of rest. And how does he lead us on the right paths? Through his word. Listen to a couple verses from Psalm 119. Verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. It illuminates the steps. And we would all want, me first, would all want to see 50 steps ahead of us at a time. But that's not how following Jesus works. Because if so, you and I would trust in ourselves for 50 steps and then go back to the Lord. Okay, what's step 51? Give me the next 50. He teaches us to trust him in every single step, not jumps along the way. Every single step. The word is a lamp that helps reveal to us what faithfulness in Christ looks like in this moment. And then verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living or keeping your word, by obeying your word. Hype students, 20-somethings, the Lord has given you his living and active word, his right and relevant Bible for your life, not to kill your joy, but to bring you joy, to reveal to you that life and joy is found in him, so that you'd know what is the right path and the wrong path and how to avoid traps that the enemy is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, or how to turn from the temptations of your heart. May you humbly recognize your nature as a sheep and look to the shepherd's word as you grow in your knowledge of him. The Lord leads us on the right paths through his Spirit. Jesus told us in John 16 that the Spirit is our counselor, our comforter, the one who guides us into all truth, he says in John 14. Galatians 5 commands us to be led by the Spirit, and that the outward evidences of our life reveal that we are being led by the Spirit and not our flesh. And the Lord has given us also his church, his flock, that we would dwell in and walk on the right path with brothers and sisters, fellow sheep in his pasture, that we'd reject isolation and pursue one another in community. Proverbs contrasts continually the way of the fool and the way of the wise. Proverbs 12:15, for example, says this: a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. We will not walk on the right path disconnected from God's church or disconnected from godly counsel from within his church. Sometimes people in their self-deceit think, oh, this is definitely the path the Lord wants to take me on. The Lord told me. I have a sense from God. This just feels right in my spirit, or other religious, spiritual sounding phrases. But if the path you're walking on, walking down, is contrary to the word, it's not the Spirit of God leading you. It's your own self-deceit. It's demonic. It's leading you away from green pastures toward life in Christ. You've justified it oftentimes with this religious language, but it's not seeking godly counsel. It's not living in community. It's not in alignment with his word. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. As the good shepherd leads his people, it will be for his glory and for his praise. Why? Because he is the one doing the work. We're called to humbly follow. Verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Wait, what? I thought we were in green pastures and babbling brooks, and I thought we were just listening to the trickle of water. I thought the right path meant the straight path. It does. But it doesn't mean a life free of trouble and trial. We still live in a fallen world that is broken and groaning because of sin. And since the fall of man and the entrance of sin came death, suffering, sickness, selfishness, this whole train of cars behind it. But the good shepherd doesn't forsake us in the dark valley. He's with us in the shadows, in the dark nights of the soul, in the suffering, loss, anxiety, grieving, depression, in the questioning, in the wondering. For you are with me, David writes. Notice how the words change here. There's intensity building in this psalm. Before it was, he leads me. But now it's, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We often learn that Jesus is enough and is of supreme value in our lives when he is all that we are left with. Whether we've come to the end of our own strength or experiencing the consequences of the sin of others or ourselves or living in this broken world, it's oftentimes in those times where we humbly realize we have nowhere else to go but Christ. And in him is where life and green pastures are found. It's in the dark valleys where the intensity of our relationship with the Lord moves from, yeah, he does this. Oh, he does that in that person over there. Oh, I've seen it do that. But he does it in me. It becomes personal, deeply personal, relational, that he is your good shepherd. And Lord, you will not forsake me. You know what I've often learned in the valley in my own life? How to pray. How to depend upon the Lord in all of life. How to trust him outside the comfort zone. I learned that my nature is that of a sheep. That I need the good shepherd and I'm seeking to trust him. And Lord, give me the power, the desire to do that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, think back to valleys in your life. Whether they be times of loss or difficulty, trials, or your own sin that's brought something on, or times where you had more questions than answers, or when others had wronged you, it's there that the Lord wants us to rely upon and cling to His goodness and His grace and declare, "You lead, I'll follow. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Both of these tools are extensions of the shepherd's hands. It's to lengthen the shepherd's reach. The rod was used to correct the sheep and protect the sheep from wolves. Don't falsely think that the good shepherd of love doesn't correct his sheep or doesn't discipline his sheep. And he does that. Why? Because he wants us to follow him on the right path. It's not punitive. It's for our life. It's to lead us toward places of rest and renewal, to a life that is anchored in him, disciplines that prune the dead out so that life flourishing might occur. The staff of a shepherd was used to direct, to pull back, to set boundaries. Both the rod and staff are a great comfort to the sheep because, again, sheep knows they are in need of leadership. And they know that sometimes that will lead to correction in their lives. The good shepherd is hands-on. He's not hands-off. He's actively at work in the lives of his people. This is a great comfort that we don't have to fend off the enemy by ourselves. Where in your life is the rod correcting in order to protect you? Welcome this act of love, friends. Where is the Lord saying, "No, no, not there"? And drawing a boundary, setting a boundary. The world says joy and freedom are found with no boundaries. And such was the lie of Genesis 3, the enemy in the garden. It's limitless. And in such situations, our own flesh devours us. It just devours us from the inside out. Joy is found in him and in his ways. Jesus is with us in the suffering, in the darkness of life, verse 4, and he's with us in the celebration and joy of life that verse 5 speaks of. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The good shepherd is at the meal. He's not far off. He's near. He's the host of the meal. And we are enjoying fellowship and relationship with the Lord over the meal. The table's full. The cup is full. Nothing is hurried here. And there's no darkness here. And I love this reminder that the meal of fellowship and joy is in the presence of enemies. There is celebration in the midst of opposition. The host's care and concern for his people doesn't eliminate the presence of enemies, but enables us to experience the goodness of knowing our God in the midst of enemies. Our three main enemies: our own sin, the darkness, the demonic, the evil in this world, and the patterns of this world. Our battle as Christ followers is not against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6. And yet, as followers, we can sit down and we can rest. We don't have to eat in fear, anxiety. We don't have to eat in hurry, like, "Oh, it's gonna run away." For the presence of our shepherd is here to stay. The blessings of the good shepherd are not just in the valley, but on the mountain. Not just at the funeral, but in the birth, the adoption, the wedding. Not just on the cross, but in the resurrection. Not just in the strain of relationship, but in the restoration of the relationship. Philippians 4:4 tells us that we can rejoice in all circumstances, for our joy is rooted in who and what is true at all times. Do you see how verses 4 and 5 complement one another and speak to the various seasons of life here on this earth? The good shepherd is with us in the trouble, the triumph, the famine, and the feasting. And then David finishes the song with verse 6. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Your translation may say forevermore. The trustworthiness of our Lord is eternal and everlasting. For the believer in Christ, for as long as we have here on this earth and into eternity, goodness and faithful love will be with us. They won't veer off in another direction. They won't diminish over time. It's the same truth that Romans 8 speaks of. If you're not on a Bible reading plan, I'd encourage you to dwell in Romans 8 this week. But in Romans 8, for example, we see that in Christ there is now no condemnation for our sin. For our condemnation was laid upon the Son sufficiently, fully. In Christ that we've been adopted, brought in as children of God, into the family of God by the hand of the Father, we've been given the Spirit of God who intercedes on our behalf when we don't know how to pray. And in Christ, nothing, no dark valley, can separate us from His goodness and faithful love. Nothing. Loved ones, are you gladly welcoming the Lordship of Jesus in all areas of your life? Are you dwelling in His Word that illuminates the right path before you? Are you humbly receiving the correction of the Good Shepherd for your good and for the good of those around you, for the good of those on board? Are you trusting in Him and His goodness and presence in the midst of the dark valley? Where the Lord is calling you to repent and believe in Him, may we be quick to do so. In the Old Testament, the Lord promises that one day a Messiah will come. And in John 10, Jesus announces Himself as just that. He's contrasting the difference between the hired hand and Himself as the Good Shepherd. The hired hand, the Israelite leaders, the hired hand takes off at the first sign of trouble because they only care about themselves. They don't care about the sheep. Jesus, though, the Good Shepherd, He pursues, He stays, remains. He is for and with His people. He will not forsake His people. He has beaten the enemy. He's made a way of salvation where before there was no way. He's beaten death and sin. He is the victorious Good Shepherd, loved ones. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He willingly was crucified on the cross for our sins so that we might live, so that we might be rescued from dying in our sin and raised to resurrection life, so that we might be able to receive forgiveness of sin, past, present, and future, and be set free to love and serve Him alone. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd of His church, and He's the good shepherd of our lives. What never changes, no matter if our life is in the valley or on the rise or somewhere in between, what never changes, church, is the character of the good shepherd. His goodness, mercy, compassion, trustworthiness, His presence, and we see that steadfast character on display in the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Jesus, His resurrection, His ascension, and one day in His return. As we look at Psalm 23, may you and I be reminded that when Jesus leads and we follow, it leads to our needs being met, places of peace, rest, renewal, right paths that lead to life, courage in the face of enemies, comfort and strength in the valley, His goodness and faithful love all our days, His presence, shelter, protection forever. Crosspoint, imagine how the Lord might be glorified, how much gospel good could be experienced in our communities and to the nations if we in unity sought to trust Jesus more. In seasons of unknown, in seasons of hardship, in our pride, we turn toward humility. In our comfort, we wouldn't exalt that as some idol to be worshipped, but we'd stay obedient and responsive to the Spirit of God. Where He leads, He goes before. And He is with us to the very end of the age. His power and His presence go with us, Matthew 28 reminds us of. May we be responsive to His power and to His presence. Lord Jesus, thank You for being our good shepherd. You made us, we are Yours, Your people, the sheep of Your pasture. You call us out by name, You lead us. So help us to trust Your word, Your character. We're so grateful that You go ahead of us. So may we, Your sheep, grow to know Your voice of truth and be quick and humble to follow. We praise You that Your goodness leads us to secure places and pastures where we find life. We praise You for protecting us and being our shelter from our spiritual enemy. Lead us away from temptation, Lord, and reveal to us how abundant and good and free life is in You. Thank You for rescuing us, Jesus, from eternal judgment, from our sinful flesh. You are our salvation, our hope, refuge, our home. Indeed, we have a beautiful inheritance in you. Counsel us, Lord. Guide us. Thank you that you are at our right hand and we will not be shaken. Our hearts are glad and rejoice. Our bodies rest securely in you. You reveal the path of life to us. Jesus, where we are wandering from you or rejecting your love and goodness, we repent. We return to you, the shepherd and overseer of our souls. You're the chief shepherd of this church, of your church. And we rest in you. We trust in you. We are changed by you. You lead, Jesus, and we'll follow. And we pray it in your name. Amen. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31 say this: Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become tired and weak, and young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.